Have you ever lost something that was important, but in the moment you couldn't find it? And then when you finally find it, you realize it wasn't that far away? I'm glad I'm not the only one losing my mind.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, my name is Mark Jobe, and you are listening to Straight Talk. Great to be with you once again. We have radio listeners that give us feedback via email, Facebook, Twitter, phone calls, and I love hearing from you in various different ways. I got a great call our office did this past week from Doris. Doris is 92 years old, and she listens to Straight Talk on a regular basis. She doesn't know about email or Twitter or Facebook, but she called the office just to give us a word of encouragement. And so I called Doris back. And Doris, if you're listening to this, I want to say that my heart was just encouraged. I saw the spunk in your voice and that energy in your heart and that love for Jesus at 92 years old. I want to eat whatever Doris is eating. So hopefully when I'm 92, I'll have that same spunk and love for God. In fact, Doris called because she was witnessing to her hairdresser. And she's homebound, but she listens to Straight Talk all the time. So Doris, here's a shout out to you. God bless you. Let's prepare our hearts for the word now.
Indeed, Pastor Mark, thank you. Tonight our message is called Finding Your Praise, which is the last message in Pastor Mark's series called Finding Words, Talking Honestly with God. We continue on in the book of Psalms. Here's Pastor Mark with tonight's Straight Talk.
Today's my last message in a series entitled Finding Words. And I believe I have a message for you from God. And I want to talk to you today about what it means to find your praise again. Have you ever lost something that was important, but in the moment you couldn't find it? And then when you finally find it, you realize it wasn't that far away? Come on now, admit it. How many of you have lost glasses or sunglasses? Where are they? Where'd I put it? And then you go like this and it's on your head. Happened to anybody else? All right. I'm glad I'm not the only one losing my mind. And you realize, hey, it wasn't that far away. I couldn't find it, but it was closer than what I thought. There are some of you here that have lost something more important than sunglasses. You've lost something, yeah, more important than just your reading glasses. You've lost your praise. You don't know where it went. You just know that it's disappeared. That it hasn't been around for a while. That you don't know where that voice of praise went to, where that worship and that thanksgiving went to, but you remember when you had it, and when you had it, it was good. When you had it, it lifted your spirit. When you had it, it came naturally. But for whatever you're going through, it may be a dry spell, it may be a testing of your faith. It may be a challenge that you're facing financially or physically or maritally, or maybe you're going through a transition and stressed out about the future, but you know this, that the praise that you once had, you don't have it anymore. And you're looking around to rediscover it. You're looking to find it again. And I believe it's closer to you than what you may think. It's right by you. And so my prayer is that by the time we finish this service, that you will have found your voice of praise once again. Amen? So in order to discover and find your praise again, I'm going to take you in your Bibles to Psalms 118. Psalms 118. Now, there's something special about this psalm. It is exactly right in the middle of your Bible. In fact, if you have a physical Bible, you can probably open your Bible right in the middle and you'll find it somewhere around Psalms 118. There are 594 chapters before it. There are 594 chapters after it. The shortest chapter in the Bible is Psalms 117. The longest chapter in the Bible is Psalms 119. And Psalms 118 is sandwiched between the shortest and the longest chapters in the Bible, right in the middle of the Bible. And it's fitting that right in the middle of the Bible, the entire message of Psalms 118 is about finding your praise and lifting a voice of thanksgiving to God again. So I'm going to jump into this passage, and hopefully we can learn something today about rediscovering our voice of praise. If you're taking notes today, I want you to jot this down. As you look to discover your voice of praise, again, I want you to understand that you find it in the neighborhood of thanksgiving. Let me say that again. If you want to discover a voice of praise, you have to look in the neighborhood of thanksgiving. Because thanksgiving fuels the atmosphere of praise. It is thanksgiving that adds fire to your praise. You cannot lack a voice of thanksgiving and be a person that's full of praise. The opposite of thanksgiving is murmuring and complaining and ingratitude. Some people say, well, Pastor, I'm just not a very positive person. It's my personality. Well, let me tell you, then you got a personality disorder. And when you get back into your spiritual order, you will turn into a praising person again. Thanksgiving is the natural vernacular of the people of God. Our native language is the language of thanksgiving and praise. When you begin to speak the language of negativity, when you speak the language of what you don't have, the language of complaining and the language of murmuring, you are speaking a language that's foreign to your native language. That's not the language that you were meant to speak in. That's not the communication skills that God has given you. Those are foreign communication skills. The language that God has given you, the language of heaven, the language of your new nature, the language of the new spiritual man that you have is the language of thanksgiving and praise. If you're not speaking that language, you are not speaking the language that God gave you. Are you tracking with me? Really important to understand. So, the very first words of this psalm say this: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Oh, I could just stop and go home right now. And if we grasped what this has to say, we would have a message big enough to chew on. Some of you are saying, Pastor, not a bad idea. You know, the Super Bowl has happened and maybe we should go home. I got enough for today. No, I'm going to keep preaching. Don't worry about it. You know, some people believe in a positive attitude just for the sake of positivity. Some people say, well, I'm a positive thinker. Here's my problem with the whole positive thinking mentality that's not based on something concrete. If I just think positive, but my positivity is not based on anything, then I'm just indulging in wishful thinking. My positive thinking has to be based on something that is substantial, something that backs it, something that it can stand on. I'm a positive individual and a positive thinker, not because I sing that old song, Don't Worry, Be Happy, that Jamaica little tune that was popular a few years ago. I'm not a positive person just for the sake of positivity. I'm a positive person based on a concrete understanding of the world explained through Scripture. The reason that I can be positive is because what this verse and many other tell me. Give thanks to the Lord, A, because he's good, and two, because his love endures forever. Oh, I can face the world with a positive outlook because I know, first of all, that the God of the universe, the sovereign maker of all humanity, the one that orchestrates the destiny of men, the one that has laid a foundation for all creation, the one that has existed from eternity past and will exist in eternity present, the one who is all-knowing, all-powerful, the one who is all-present all the time in every space, that God, that supreme being, his intrinsic nature is that he is good. He's good. We don't have a God that changes and is moody and one day is good and the next day is bad. We don't have a God that cannot be depended on. We have a God whose very nature is good. Every good and perfect gift that you have in life comes from God himself. In fact, I love we've taught you this sort of echo statement. We say, God is good, and you say, say all the time, and you say, some of you need to learn that a little bit. We're a little rusty at it. Okay, God is good
all the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Oh, now we got it. There we go. Yeah, God is good all the time. Now, your circumstances may not be good, your health may not always be great. Your finances may not always be in the top condition, but the nature of God does not change. God is good. That means he's a benevolent God. That means kindness and mercy flow from him. The Bible tells us that when we approach God, we find grace and mercy that flows from the throne of God. His intrinsic nature is that God is good. So when evil happens, what do we know? God is not the author of that evil because God is good.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Finding Your Praise, which is from Pastor Mark's radio series called Finding Words, Talking Honestly with God. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Psalms, and we continue on with his message called Finding Your Praise.
When bad things happen, God is not the author of anything that's evil, dark. It may happen in the world because we live in a dark, fallen world, but God is not the originator of that which is bad. Oh, I get people asking me all the time, well, if God is good, why did this happen to my cousin? If God is good, why did this 15-year-old get hit by a car? If God is good, why does this person have a disease? If God is good, why did a rape happen? If God is good, why is there poverty in Africa? If God is good, why did my nephew commit suicide? We live in a fallen, broken, dark, unregenerate world. We live in a world in which there's a kingdom of darkness battling with the kingdom of light. We live in a world that Genesis tells us that in the beginning, something happened because God gave free will to man and woman. And in that free will, they chose to disobey God. God put man and woman in an idyllic environment and prepared them to succeed, but gave them the choice. And they chose to disobey God. When they chose to disobey God, they ushered in what theologians call the fall of man. It's the corruption of our own nature. It's the brokenness of society. It's the ushering in of sickness and disease and death. And we have lived for thousands of years in a world that is yet to be redeemed. But when the fullness of time has come and God regenerates this world and Jesus comes again and he restores things to where the way he wants them to be, there will be no more death and there will be no more sorrow, brokenness, tragedy, rape, victims, homicide. That will be wiped away when God comes again and establishes his kingdom. Yeah. But in the time being, for now, we live in a world where there's darkness, but I want you to hear me well. God is not the author of evil. He's not. It is not God's will that evil happen in this world. So if evil has happened to you or someone else, don't throw your eye glance to heaven and say, well, it must be God's will. No, it wasn't God's will. We live in a fallen, broken world in which what happens in this world grieves the heart of God. God weeps over the tragedy and brokenness and injustice that occurs in this world. But God is postponing his hand, waiting in mercy before he ushers in complete righteousness and judges all that needs to be judged and restores righteousness to this earth. But in the meantime, we will experience the atrocities of living in a world that is still fallen. What the fallen world teaches us about sorrow and brokenness and how much we long for the world that only God can give us. But give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Never mistake the fact that your circumstances are bad with the fact that God is not good, for God is good. And secondly, he says, not only give thanks to the Lord for he is good, but it says his love endures forever. That means that God's love, this agape, unconditional, extreme caring for you and I, it endures forever. Endures means that it lasts. That it can't be torn apart, dissuaded. It doesn't run out. It doesn't run out of batteries. It doesn't break down. That God's love endures whatever you've been through, wherever you're going, no matter what you've gone through, that God still loves you and his love is enduring. It doesn't fade. It doesn't change. He doesn't wake up one day and say, I've stopped loving them. That God's love endures forever. Some of you were in marriages where a spouse woke up one day and said, I don't love you anymore, and walked out on you. And some of you have a fear that God is that way, but God is not. His love endures forever. Some of you were in relationships where someone that you really, really trusted stopped loving you. And they said, I just don't care about you anymore. I don't know what's happened, but my heart has grown cold. I don't love you anymore. But God's love is not like that. God's love endures forever. He will never wake up one day and said, I've stopped loving you. He will never change his mind. He will never decide not to love you. It's planted in his word. It's solid in his character. His love endures forever and ever and ever and ever. And that means it's an infinite love that God has for you. So give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. And then the psalmist, which could have been David, but we're not sure, says, let Israel say, his love endures forever. And let the house of Aaron say, that was the priest. Aaron was the brother of Moses. And out of the lineage of Aaron came all the priests that served in the tabernacle and eventually in the temple. And it was a lineage of priests. And so he's saying, hey, let all the people say, all the chosen people of Israel say, his love endures forever. Now let all the priests in the house, everybody who's about the business of God, say, his love endures forever. And just in case you thought you were left out, He says, let those who fear the Lord, who show reverent respect for God, say, his love endures forever. And let all New Life Community Church say,
his love endures forever.
Yes, just in case you were feeling left out. His love endures forever. There's something powerful about saying those words. Next time you're in a trial, a difficult situation, next time you feel unloved, uncared for, isolated or alone, I encourage you, I dare you, I double dare you, lift your eyes towards heaven and say, his love endures forever. In fact, some of you, just the fact that you said that today has already encouraged your spirit. Some of you need to say that a few times a day. His love endures forever. Now, there's something very interesting about this whole idea of Thanksgiving. And David says, give thanks because his love endures forever. And I was thinking about this as I was preparing for this message. And it struck me that not only is Thanksgiving the natural language of God that creates an atmosphere where God is thankful. If you remember, when Moses was leading the people out of Israel, the people had a tendency to complain and murmur. If they didn't have enough meat, they would start murmuring and say, we should go back to Egypt. At least we had meat there. In the desert, all we have is manna. When it looked like they weren't going to have enough water, they would murmur and they would say, did you bring us out here to starve? To die of thirst? What's going on? And do you remember that God got so ticked of their murmuring that finally he had the ground open up and swallow a bunch of murmurers? The earth opened up. A bunch of the murmurs and complainers fell in. Have you ever felt tempted to pray that God would do the same at your job or your work or your family? Have you ever said, oh, Lord, you did it in the desert. Could you do it again? Because I have about five names that need to go under. I believe that God did that to show his distaste for murmuring and complaining. The fact that God has done good and yet we forget so quickly what God has done. I started thinking about this and I was reminded that in Scripture, in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 22, the Apostle Paul is speaking about thanksgiving and he's speaking about the topic of being filled with the Spirit of God. He starts out this passage, and I'm going somewhere with this, so stay with me because this is really important. I'm talking about the natural language of thanksgiving is the natural spiritual language that God has given us. In Ephesians, it says, do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. This passage is really not about drinking. It's just using the subject of drinking to do a comparison with what it means to be full of the Spirit. He says, do not get drunk with wine because it leads to debauchery. That's an interesting word, debauchery. It feels strong, ugly, debauchery. Debauchery means out of control lust. It means a lack of restraint. Another translation says licentiousness, or where you give yourself over to something without any barriers or without any restraints. So in essence, what the Apostle Paul is saying is don't get drunk with wine, because when you get drunk with wine, you fill yourself with a substance that alters your natural personality, and it causes you to do things that you normally wouldn't do and say things that you normally wouldn't say and behave in ways that you normally wouldn't behave because you're filled with a outside substance that's altered your natural personality. So that shy girl that barely says hi to people, she gets drunk with wine and suddenly she's dancing on the tables. That mild-mannered man that normally doesn't like to pick any fights, he gets drunk with wine and suddenly he turns into Mike Tyson Jr. and wants to fight anybody in the room. It's not his natural way, but with a substance that's outside of him, when he gets filled with it, it changes the way that he would normally operate. Now, the Apostle Paul is saying, he's comparing being filled with wine with being filled with the Spirit. Because the same thing happens when you are filled with the Spirit.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Finding Words, talking honestly with God. And tonight was the first half of his message called Finding Your Praise. Join us again on Monday for the second half of this message. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of tonight's message, you can download it for free as a podcast when you subscribe to our free Straight Talk app at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe.com. There you'll find information about Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church, as well as other encouraging messages. CDs are also available. Contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. Before you go, we invite you to hear Pastor Mark in person at our New Life Midway location, 5101 South Keeler in Chicago. You can check out our website for more information, newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. If you take the train, it's the Orange Line heading towards Midway, and we are at the Pulaski stop. We hope to see you there. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you back on Monday. God bless.